done everything you've asked. Everything's going according to plan.
Governor, we won county, and the Nat Pack has never been stronger.
So tell us, Governor, what else can we do for you?
I got it from here.
Welcome back to another episode of Bear's Wagulay Talks. If you enjoyed this last time, we talked about disabilities, slash marriage, benefits, and disadvantages. With me once again, Mr. Ben McNew.
Hey, everybody. Good to be back.
So, today's episode, we're going to discuss the differences of each state with the Social Security benefits. And surprisingly, there's not many to discuss, but we're going to talk about that and how we can do better together as a society to improve people's way of life. So, first up would be the benefits of the different states and what they do differently than other states.
Yeah, so I've got the information here. So, in regards to federal benefits, if you joined us last time, we talked about the SSI benefits that the people with disabilities receive. There isn't much changes from state to state for married couples, because I know Barrett was interested in that, and I was as well. Does it change from state to state? Now, here's what it actually says on the government site where you pick up this information. It says every state except Arizona, North Dakota, and West Virginia, so those three states, currently pays a state supplement to its disabled residents who received SSI. Now, my assumption is that Arizona, North Dakota, West Virginia, it's probably more privatized. So they still probably pay it out, but it's more privatized with those states. Now, with that being said, there are some states that pay a supplement only when a person with a disability lives in a certain setting. So for instance, somebody that has a disability lives in an adult care home or nursing home or needs basically 24-hour care, or basically if it's somebody needs, you know, not maybe 24/7 care, maybe, you know, different types of care. And so there's actually, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10 states, and then Washington, D.C. that pays different supplements. Now, if you were on our last episode, Barrett talked about the amount that you receive, not married, not dating, or anything like that. The max you can receive is $914. We said like $970-something. We were close, but it's $914. Now, the reason why this is important to talk about that, here's the states that are different. California, Delaware, Hawaii, Iowa, Michigan, Montana, Nevada, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Vermont. Now, that's very important to understand because although they're different, there are some similarities. So, for instance, Delaware, Hawaii, Montana, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Washington, D.C. All those states, they give the same to the, as in like the 914. They give the max. Where they differ is like couples with a disability. So, for instance, Delaware, remember if you're on our last episode, we talked about that if you get married and you both have disabilities, that you basically get 1.5 person of benefits instead of 2. Well, Delaware actually does, they double it up. So you get the double of the 914. So basically you get the full 2 people. And then, so those are different. Now, the states that are completely different where they actually go above the max is Vermont, New Jersey, California, those, and Washington, D.C. as well, they go above the max. So, like, for instance, instead of paying the $914, California will pay $1,133.73. And so, now, the only thing that was really interesting that I found interesting was, is that in this case, as we talked about last time, the disabilities are the same across the board in regards to your benefits, but one thing that is different is that if they're blind, which I thought was interesting, that's the one that they covered a little bit more. So, like, for instance, a blind couple in California could receive the benefits, and they get over $2,000 worth of benefits. And for every one of these states, with the exception of Washington, D.C., although that's not a state, we know that it's a territory. But every single one actually gave more benefits to a couple who had one of them had a disability and maybe one of them was blind. And so basically there's differences in these states. So, but for the most part, they're basically the same. The only difference is the scenario in which they have currently or the disability in which they have.
Yeah, and I just want to clarify here. We're not experts in this stuff. We've done weeks upon weeks of research and take the majority of answers that we could find. But I was shocking to know that some states give you the more if you're legally blind. And I'm like, so you're basically telling me that I have to pluck one of my eyes out to be, like, almost legally blind? Of course I'm joking. Don't see that as a link, and I will never do that. But it almost feels that way. Like, you have to be considerably legally blind to get more money in these benefits. Now, what we can find a clear answer on, or maybe we can find it later, is you still have to keep the same amount of money in your account. So, yes, they up it and do all that stuff, but it's like, if you don't use it right away, you basically lose everything you work for. So, it's a messed up system, and me and you talked about this before we got on the podcast and doing this series, which leads to the question, what can we do differently and how can we make it better as a group and not basically a jailbreak?
Well, I think first of all, I think the first things first is I think we rush to solutions without really knowing about the problem first. And so really what I think the first step is having conversations like we're having now to make people aware of basically what's going on with this, how the benefits work and all that. So I think that's the first thing to do is just make people aware of the scenario. I think number two, though, as a whole, regardless of benefits, what they receive, what they don't receive, I think being aware of those. And so if we're aware of those, second thing is that if we see people who are struggling with whether they have a disability or not, to be more compassionate towards them in general, because ultimately we just don't know their life story. I would encourage us to get to know their life story. Like I've got to know Barrett over the last few years and he's told me, where he's come from, and that's really helped me really have more compassion for people who are dealing with this. I think sometimes it's hard for us to do that, as Barrett's talked about. We sometimes judge things before we even realize what's going on there. And I do think in general, if we want to make changes in policy, for instance, because if it's a messed up system, then I think we actually need to be proactive and say, hey, listen, if life is valuable to us, and I do believe all life is valuable from the womb to the tomb. If that's the case, then when we see this and we see some people are losing benefits just by the fact that they want to get married, well, then we need to speak up on that and say, okay, well, this is not right, and here's why it's not right, and show them the right way.
And I agree with you 100%. As a disability person and in the community and knowing that they barely tell you with disability unless you join like a job agency program, which doesn't always do what they say that they're supposed to do. I'll get into that in a minute, but point being, again, I keep saying this over and over and over in this podcast for the last couple of episodes. We get the education as a disability community. I can only speak for myself and my issues with my CP cerebral palsy. So I can't speak for everybody else, but, you know, having these conversations, bringing, you know, the general public more aware of these, you know, issues, and having activists such as myself and talk about these things with people. Hopefully we can unite at the front instead of tearing each other down, or what you said, a lot of people judge us, and it takes a little effort to get to know us, yes. But it also takes effort on our part to be patient and not be so offensive at first, because I know when I first met you, you didn't know what to do, you were nervous as heck. We actually met in the school meeting room.
We actually met here at the church. Actually, remember that? That's how I actually met
you. Okay, we met there first, and then
yeah,
went from there. All right, so see, that was the church accountability, and we're human, and we can't get everything right, but you know. Anyway, it takes that patience with one another to see the barriers, first of all, but the world tells you, and I don't want to speak for you, but, you know, the world tells you to be scared of us and all that stuff. What do you think about?
The world tells us to do what now? Can you ask that again?
The world tells you to be scared of us. Oh, we don't need to be with them, or we don't need to be with able-bodied people. What do you?
Yeah, I think that's not right at all. Like, and you are correct, though. I feel like in a society, you know, I do think, for instance, in schools, for instance, when they separate people who have you know, like learning disabilities or any type of disabilities, and they create an atmosphere for them. But I think what happens a lot of times is where it starts there is they separate them for everything. You know what I'm saying? And so it creates this culture of, okay, they've always been separate, we're separate from them. And it's not necessarily that they're told to fear people with disabilities. It's just we don't know how necessary to interact sometimes with people with disabilities, because if from a young age, we're separated. So we got to find bridges, a way to bridge that back to where, yes, there's times where, in like I said, in the context of school, for instance, there's times where that's beneficial for both sides. But it also, to me, it's not beneficial to separate for everything and to have opportunities for people to interact, people with and without disabilities.
Yeah, I humbly agree. That's why next time I'm going to, on the next podcast, and it's going to be the last episode of this series, me and Ben are going to discuss what people can do in terms of making sure the government's accountable what they say they're going to do. But also I give my overall take of what I think we as a society need to fix in the government system and take it step by step. You can email me at barietes.swagulife@gmail.com.